Hey, everybody. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. On today's Mexican Crossing Lines, we are talking about the Ochetti Camp and the bigger picture. And my guests today are Russell Vasquez and Josh Long. You guys have been on the show before, so I'll let you just briefly introduce yourselves, and we're going to jump right in today and start talking about what's been going on at the camp. I know everybody's been watching the live streams and the news stories that have been coming out today, so I want to kick it off with Russell. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me once again.
What do you make of everything that's been happening at camp? What's the first thing that has stood out for you about this day?
The main thing that always screamed out to me since the beginning was corruption.
Well, I was trying to ask you, about, there's been numerous arrests today, 76 people at last count, among them Chase Iron Eyes. And there is a lot of confusion and chaos happening at the camp, very heavily militarized.
Well, I think it's crazy that Chase got picked up today.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely crazy.
Because I was watching the live streams, and, there is that one that was shot where he was talking to the police, on the road. And they're telling them, you guys got to move everything out of there. And they're like, they set like some arbitrary deadline for like 15 minutes where they wanted everyone to move all those teepees. I'm like, yeah, I don't think it'll happen in 15 minutes because it'll take 15 minutes to get up over there. But when I thought it was really telling, because the officer asked Chase, don't you have one of our officers you can get in contact with and let us know when you made contact with that camp over there? And the officer just looked stymied when Chase was like, no, I don't have any of your guys' contact information. They just kind of looked around at each other like, oh, what do we do now?
Chase Iron Eyes got arrested.
Chase Iron Eyes got arrested. And Josh, you were chiming in on that, I remember, when it started cutting out. Yeah, the disconnect in society.
Yeah, it was just crazy to see, the MRAP there with, the armored vehicle that supported it, and all of those Humvees that were all parked up a little further up the road with all the other cars. It was crazy to see, the MRAP that close to where we were camped, Russell.
Definitely. It was right there on the front gate. Boom. We all imagined that day would come, and today was that day for them. And, it must have been very, that's a whole new ballgame, and I'm pretty sure everyone on the ground will agree to that.
Yeah. Well, they did hold up to their end of the bargain of removing the barrier, if only for an hour, putting it back
exactly.
Up.
I had my people there, and it was just like they were letting me know, we're hearing construction going on. I think they moved the barricade. So I'm like, check it out. And sure enough, they were moving the barricade, and you can see all the forces lining up, and you're just like, it's happening. And I was telling them, if it doesn't happen right now, it's going to happen, crack of dawn. But sure enough, they came in on that first camp, and they came in strong. And
too, because at the same time that officer is talking with Chase, Chase is asking him, we didn't know, that's allegedly, we all thought this was treaty land. We didn't know that's allegedly private property. And even the officers are having a hard time trying to make out where they are on the ground at that current moment. It's like you'd think if you're staring at that same place in the, in the middle of the open out there for that many months, you would know kind of where the map is, but it seemed like even the officers were confused as to what was federal land and what wasn't. But they knew full well after all those conversations they've said at the bridge saying, we're not coming over there. That's not what we're going to do. Well, here they are, they're just right out front of the gate today.
That was pretty terrifying.
Definitely.
It didn't take them long to get over there either.
Definitely not. My guy was just saying that they had choppers in the air quick. It was like, they knew it was coming, so
yeah.
Maybe
you can bounce this off me, Russell. One of the first thoughts that I had
was, we're back on with Russell and Josh. Let's see how long we can talk this time. I'm hoping it'll be longer. I'm not going to play any music because that seems to upset the Facebook gods. So we were talking with you, Russell, and you were going to take us somewhere with some new information.
You just start doing the robot thing, but I'm just going to act like I, whatever. We're just going to get it going. So to leave off where we were, I mean, we were basically just getting into the fact that, you know, the different angles and what they were willing to do and how today was different from most. I mean, you know, a lot of the direct actions, definitely. But today was like, it was almost like a puffing of the chest of the other side saying, hey, you know, we're going to arrest your people. We're going to destroy this one small camp. But it's like, you see what we have. And I think they're trying to, oh my gosh.
Did they take it down again?
They did.
What the? Okay, that's it. We're trying the guerrilla method. Listen, we've all been upset about what's going on at the camp, so I'm really glad that you guys joined me.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I mean, it was crazy to see how close the cops were to camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right outside the gate. That's close.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. Man, you know, it amazes me what could have happened that didn't. And yeah. But hey.
Well, I think that's kind of been their strategy for a while, is to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, you know, because I think that's kind of been their main strategy. It's, you know, very ham-handed strategy of trying to instigate a riot. You know, they always put charges on people for inciting riots when they don't want them on the field anymore. But there's a perfect example where they had made that whole claim where we're going to give you a criminal trespassing charge if you cross the bridge. Well, here they come crossing over the bridge. Well, look at that, you know? So I think a lot of that is designed to try and instigate people and trying to anger people, trying to garner that emotional response, because I think that's going to make a lot of people pissed off when they see that. And it's going to want people, you know, people are going to want to be back out there again who aren't out of camp, ourselves included. But it also, you know, it raises that emotional stress level really, really high, and it demands some sort of a response. But I thought a lot of the people that were out there today did a great job of being really, really cool, level-headed about the whole situation with the MRAP being right out in front of the front gate. Like, that's real close for comfort, you know. It takes some pretty good, strong nerves to
I remember the first time that the police came that close to camp. And I was really freaked out. And it was a time when somebody stole a car from a Bismarck car dealership and drove it into the camp and actually drove into some, you know, tents and teepees. Nobody was hurt. But I just, in my mind, I was like, who did that? Who would do that? Do you guys remember that story? Because it just disappeared. We never heard of it again, but it really put me on high alert. There was a whole bunch of different things that happened where either media people or the police called for actions or claimed that crimes and things were happening in the camp that would necessitate the police to go there.
Yeah. I think that was kind of like the style that we've seen, you know, specifically at camp, where they've set these arbitrary, you know, borders of where you can and can't go without getting arrested automatically, you know. And I thought that conversation that Chase had with the officers today on the road right before he'd been arrested, I think that was really telling, because he asked the police, like, well, do you know if that's treaty land or if that's private land? And they didn't know. They just said, oh, anything past that fence is all private. Are you sure about that? Because, you know, they didn't seem too convinced by their own answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
I mean, to add to all this, too, is, you know, what they chose to do today lets you know and lets the people know that the fight isn't over.
Somebody commented, Cheyenne Running Wolf comments, but in all fairness, the land that Chase had his people set up on was not on Sioux land. So the coverage that Dean took, the officer said he owned, didn't want them on their land. So many say stolen treaty land, but even if that is true, the land has been gone for years and they know they can not be on Army Corps or DAPL land. So arrests are bound to happen if you don't stay on Sioux land or LaDonna's Land? Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you know, I see the logistics behind it, but it's like, you know, we're fighting for the future here. We're not facing the reality that this is way more serious than anyone realizes, and all they're doing is creating these boundaries that they've created for hundreds of years against our people and all through society. So I understand what people are saying about that, but I also understand that when it comes to this type of battle, at some point they don't play by the rule book. You know, whether it's in peace and prayer, I mean, it is in peace and prayer, so anything else that happens shouldn't even be happening. They shouldn't be reacting this way, because it's still peace and prayer. Our water protectors are still remaining peaceful, and that is what's making them mad. And it's just like, regardless of jurisdictions, laws, the natural law will allow you to defend Mother Earth. So, and that's the law I live by. That's the law we all should start living by.
Mm-hmm. Russell, there's a lot of people on the live feed that want to know if you know how your grandmother Mary is. I wanted to give you a chance to respond to that.
I don't. And, we've been stonewalled in all different areas. And, the main purpose of this feed is to show how this pipeline on the start is affecting everyone involved right now, and it will affect everyone who isn't involved and thinks that they won't be affected by it. And and some of the tactics they're using is stonewalling you, creating different ways where they could block you out from information about your loved ones. I would love to know where my grandmother is, how she's doing, but we cannot seem to get that. And we have tried numerous outlets, all the right ways. We've follow the playbook that they ask you to follow.
And I understand that, having been at camp and everything that you and your family have been through, it connects you. Same as you, Josh. I mean, when you go to camp, you build a connection, and then you want to know what's going on there. So we've all been watching. I know that my listeners and my viewers have been watching because they care. They care about what happens to the people that are there. So it's very distressing to see what happened during this raid today. It's really disturbing, the direction that things have been going. And the number of arrests. Can you remember when the last time was when they did mass arrests of this number?
In the amount of time that it's happened? No.
Yeah.
The amount of time being key, because they like to use that one specific date of August 10th being like of last year being where they think this all started in terms of the emergency response support. But I mean, that's literally 153 days. They arrested well over 600 people, pushing 700 now after today.
A lot of those people, I do actually remember when the first time that they did mass arrests in that quantity, and it was on October 27th.
Yeah.
It was on October 27th when they cleared the front treaty camp that was in the path of the pipeline. And we saw the violence. I thought that was a horrific day. That day was horrific, what they did, pulling people out of an EP, shooting people over and over again with pepper spray and point-blank range. All of the things that we saw after that, they brought all of that out that day. And that was also the day that they arrested and accused Red Fawn.
Yeah,
it was.
So what are your thoughts about how this has progressed, Russell?
Ideally, it's, it's progressing, because we're getting, there's still hope, there's still chance, and we have really stood in their way immensely. And from the time of the first direct actions to even now, when the camp is small in numbers, what can still occur? And to see what they have done, and you know, to really step back and think, you know, it's like, okay, people got arrested and all that, but think about how they have now been affected. They've been taken from life. You know, they have been put away in a cell. They can't pay their bills. They can't visit their family and friends. They're surrounded by other people in the same position or other positions, you know. And it's now they're still, and this was months ago, they're still affected by it, and they will still continue to be affected by it. And now you're seeing more people getting arrested, more people who now have to start where they started months ago and deal with that coming battle. And they need the people to stand behind them. They need us, who have not been taken, to fight for them. You know, people over there say, don't come and fight anymore. Stay home. It's over. Some people say, come and fight. I'm with the side that says, come and fight. You know, our people can tell us that they don't want us there. But you know what? I know our ancestors would disagree. And they know that we need to be there. They know our history. They go walking around knowing, talking the story, singing the songs. They know our history. They know what our ancestors want.
That's true. That's very true. And you know, I have to mention that the trial of Sarah Jumping Eagle, Chase's wife, the decision today was guilty. Not just for her, for everybody else that was tried along with her. And they were part of the first arrests that took place in August, along with Dave Archambault, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe chairman. And to me, it is, you know, the coincidence of the timing is not lost on me, that today she was found guilty for doing nothing. Nothing. And also now today, her husband is arrested.
Man, and you know, they're good people, you know. Good people who are wrongfully accused, and now they're both been separated from each other, and now they're both even more separated from each other. I can only imagine what, you know, Chase was going through, being separated from, you know, his woman for that time frame that she was, and then now coming to this ultimate decision where she's guilty, which is going to increase that time away. And now he was arrested. And I hope, you know, I mean, I trust that he can, you know, fix things, but I'm sure they're going to make it very difficult for a high, you know, level target like Chase is. And, you know, I'm in there, you know, I'm in the fight with him as well. And, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of speaks to the same sort of separation that happened with your mom, even, you know, because the whole time that you were trying to work with your mom to get your grandma out of the hospital, you guys were getting stonewalled the whole time too. That entire time they were telling you, no, you can't see her, no, you can't see her, you know. And it just so happens that after that hearing, a couple days later, your mom gets thrown in jail on a warrant she didn't know was out for.
But let us
exactly.
not lose,
and, you know, when you're sitting, okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, sorry, could you repeat the last part? It was pretty choppy.
I was just going to say, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that Chase Iron Eyes was a congressional candidate for the state of North Dakota, and he got a fair amount of the vote. And by the way, he was one of the he was the first indigenous person to run in the state for an office like that, at that level. And he's a lawyer.
Yeah. I mean, they really, you know, they took a risk on that one, you know, taking him in. And I mean, I know their intentions, but it's just like, man, you know, they're really desperate now. So they're doing anything they can.
It does. And I think a lot of it has to do with that anger factor, like we were talking about earlier. I think a lot of that was designed to enrage people, get people, you know, excited, get people angry, get people, you know, hurt over that, because, you know, a lot of people look up to Chase, especially when a lot of other people from the tribes were saying, go home, it's over, we won. He was still one of the few people out there saying, no, don't go, we need you to come back. You know, so I think that was more of like a symbolic type thing that the Morton County people decided to pull finally, because I feel like the fact that they saw people setting up a new camp, I think they wanted to do whatever they could to crush the spirit of that camp. And they figured, let's go for the top people that everyone looks up to, because that should rip away their spirit. But that's the one thing they haven't learned, is that the more they keep reaching for those higher hanging fruits, it's only going to make people want to come out there more.
I agree. And one of the things, you know, the reasons that I mentioned that, the thing that is so disturbing about it is that Chase has represented, especially in the Indigenous community, a person who says, don't be afraid. Yes, they say you can't vote with this kind of ID or that kind. Go vote anyway. Yeah, they might tell us that we can't buy back the sacred land, but we're going to do it. You know what? They can tell us that we can't be here, but we can. And when it's coming from somebody that has a legal background, when somebody like that speaks, it means something. And also, in the face of what he's doing, he's sending a message that you can still be an American, you can still have rights that are conferred upon you, and you can exercise them. And don't be afraid to exercise them. And the response from North Dakota's law enforcement is to look at a person like him and go, yeah, we can squash you. Especially if you represent that kind of hope for other people. We'll shut you up.
Definitely. That is, and that's the story of history right there. That's time and time again. Great men are shut down because they can make a difference in the corrupt world that long ago they created.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now we're in the time of prophecy. Now we're in the time of great turmoil, you know, and people, I really don't think, I mean, I know they see the media and they watch everything and they see what's going on in this country, but I still really don't think they get it. And it's really coming down to that, where you're going to be forced to, you're going to either have to pick this side or that side. And it's, that's what they want, and that's what's going to happen. But if you choose the right side, you pick the right battles, and you end up alongside the right-minded people, you will have a force that is unstoppable. And right now we have so much on our side as water protectors, as people who want to better the earth, that they don't have. All they have is money, hate, rage, and a will to destroy. Whereas we have a will to create. We have positive. We have prayer. We have the spirit of Mother Earth, our beating heart. I mean, that is, I would rather take that over any god that has been created in this world, any prophet that has come here trying to change otherwise. You know, it's about what has birthed us, and that is what we are walking on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I know that as an Indigenous person, I think about, you know, these things that are part of our Christianization, our, you know, colonization, like the Virgin. And I'm like, as an Indigenous person, I know what this mother represents, what this pregnant virgin in my history represents. She represents the mother that birthed humanity, that gives us all life. She represents our Mother Earth. That's who she is, because that's who really gives us all life. And that, I mean, that's essentially what it is that we are talking about here. That's the battle that's going on out there. It is literally human beings fighting for their survival. Not, you know, in a kind of a metaphorical way, but in a literal fight for our survival, our planet is literally dying. And that's exactly why we have to fight. We have to stand up and fight right now. And I will say this. I don't know that in any battle that has been fought in our history as humans, whether or not the people that went into those battles knew they were going to win them when they started them. But I do know that there are some battles that you have to fight regardless of whether or not you know you're going to win, because you realize it's the only way that you survive. It's the only way that you can move forward, that you can look at yourself in the mirror every day and go, you're okay. I still like you, you know? And that's what this is about for a lot of us, for a lot of people that have been to camp.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that's what, you know, critically has been used against us, is that we use that term quite often, you know, what we're fighting for, you know, what we're fighting about, who we're fighting. But the reality is that it's not fighting in the sense of traditional nomenclature. We're using that as if we're trying to fist fight or clash with anybody. The reality is that everyone that was out there was unarmed. Everyone that was out there was peaceful as well. And everyone brought prayers of wherever they came from. They brought them from their communities to that community to try and do some good. So that's what we mean by fight. You know, and when you're fighting for your mother, that's one thing, especially when you're fighting for the Mother Earth. But when you're fighting for your own personal mother while you're fighting for Mother Earth, that is a hard fight.
Oh, God, yes. Wow.
And that's, you know, that's what I figured was coming next with the camp, was that they were going to start trying to make people into this position of leadership, because that's what they think people are willing to fight for. But they don't understand what it is we're actually fighting, or what it is we mean by that when we say fight.
Indeed.
And I think that's part of the whole plan they tried to pull today, was to try and instigate a riot. And I think, you know, they expected to have, you know, Jason handcuffed by the end of the day anyways, whether or not people were going to respond negatively to that. I thought they hoped, you know, that that would be enough to get the emotions high and get the hotheads out there at the front. But that didn't happen. And it hasn't happened for months now to the tune of $22 million. You know, since August, it's cost them to clash on one side of a fence. Well, there's no clashing on our side of the fence. There hasn't been.
Your thoughts, Russell?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, just to take that last part and say that they have spent $22 million to establish this battle that they hope will make them millions of dollars each, and all the investors who are, and have always been relying on oil and the stakes that they get from it and the royalties, and it's created this world we live in. I mean, and all that money that they spent, what it could have gone to, you know, we put our money and our trust in people who care nothing of the people, who saw an opportunity and created an outlet where they can commandeer everyone's wealth and profits, hard-earned money, to create such destruction. And they convince the world that this is what we need. And they get it through all the different outlets, and they get people to stand behind them. And sure enough, we're in an age where it's very difficult and almost impossible to change over. But now we have created outlets where we have proof that we can change to green energy in a swift amount of time. I mean, and now it's just a matter of getting the public to see. And it's a matter of getting the public to see how the people who are risking it all to ensure that this doesn't get built are being treated, and that we need more people. We need the people. And it's been that time and time again. Look at Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, and outside of their individual past, they had a common goal, and it was that of the people. Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, they were fighting to save our bloodline. They were risking it all to make sure that we survived, but that they didn't come in and destroy what they are destroying now. And it is in our bloodline all this hate and mistreatment, and whether we want to feel it or not, we're born with it. Just like everyone else, all cultures, every culture in this world has experienced suffering. And we're born with that, whether we like it or not. And now they know how to trigger it, and they are triggering it. But right now, we have the ability to pick the right battle, to sit here and listen to these live streams right now. Whether it's 56 people, it does not matter. Those 56, 58 people, you can make a difference. Us three have made a difference so far. And if we continue right now to take a stand and say, we're not going to allow this anymore. I see the anger all the time. I see the people who want to be involved. And maybe sometimes you don't know how you can be involved, but a simple thing is just walking around every day in your daily society and telling people the story that you're hearing. Tell them to chime in. Really get in their ear like you never did before and tell them this is what's happening. And I guarantee whether they push you off or not, it's going to resonate. You're creating an energy. Basically, you're creating a nice little wave, a little ripple in society, and that's what we do naturally anyway. We're all connected in this earth by a grid. That's why when the world is going to crap, everybody in the world is feeling like crap. There are countries still thriving right now who aren't dealing with what we're dealing with, but I guarantee you they still feel some type of sadness and depression inside them, and they're just like, why do I feel this way? It's like, because we're all connected, and they do studies like that all through history, and right now it's, if you really, really, really want to make a difference, you really want to see the world change in a positive light, I encourage you to share this right now. Tell all your friends. Tell all your family. I have been affected. Many others have been affected. We lose sleep at night. But we all signed up for this, and we will not give up, and we will not let them do this to us, and they will not win as long as everyone unites. And that is a plain Jane thing to say, but you know, right now it's I see the world speaking all different directions, you know, and we do these things to speak and to let the people know, but we do many more actions than we do words, and that is why I became someone who was trying to make a change at camp, because I didn't talk a lot. I heard all the people who spoke, and I said, all right, I see you, I'm going to honor your words. And I didn't speak much, really. I mean, people knew who I was, but I worked my ass off from the crack of dawn till late night on my own agenda to protect the goods that we had there, to ensure the safety of the people at the camp that I chose to be at, to make sure people had shelters in the cold night when no one else was worried about that. And that is what the camp needed. And in the darkest hour, we started getting those leaders popping out, but they kept getting shut down. They kept getting stonewalled, removed. Here we are again today. Chase Iron Eye, someone who wants to make a difference and chose not to leave, and chose, for one, whether it doesn't matter where he set up camp. He said, I'm setting up camp here. Follow me. Whether it was five people or 500, they did. And right now, he got arrested, but he did it. Maybe he assumed that getting arrested would start a ripple effect like this. There's always light in dark places.
Definitely. And you find out who your friends are and who your friends aren't in situations like this. And who's really down for the cause and who's just a tourist.
And a beautiful feeling, though, is making that tourist a resident.
Definitely. So what do you, beyond this arrest of Chase, what do you make of the message that they're trying to send us today? I mean, because I think everything happens for a reason.
Okay, so I did try to jot some stuff down before they cut us off. But I was saying that I believe that their movement today, what they did, and that's why they only took out the small camp, was they were puffing the chest. They were showing off what they're capable of doing to let them know, hey, we did this to a small encampment, but no, we are coming for you next. And who's to say how far they'll go? The Ocheti camp's right there, but who's to say they won't step over reservation lines and go that route? I mean, at this point, they had a BIA blockade for the people who were trying to leave.
What?
Yeah, on the south end, yeah.
A blockade.
I'm sure they're not mentioning a whole lot about that, but you'll find a few live feeds that talk about it.
Yeah, it was a BIA one, I think, wasn't it?
What? The BIA?
Yeah, they had one, I guess, blocking the road to the south, and they had the one that was south of the bridge and north of the bridge.
Myron, can you go and talk to these people, please? I know you've been trying to make inroads with the BIA, Myron. If you're listening, somebody tag Myron and ask him, what's going on with this blockade? What? Oh, my God, really? I did not. Actually, that's one of the things I missed. See, this is why it's good to talk, because we can hear about these things and go, what happened? What's going on? So.
Exactly.
Were they like stopping and searching people, kind of like the National Guard was doing, or?
Well, I know that I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I know that Tawny Means went live at about 9 hours ago, and for about 5 minutes he went on. When of course his thing is titled BIA Roadblock, and I think I'm pretty sure in that video he goes on about what's going on and. But there's definitely a lot of live feeds out there, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and then they parked that giant mobile command station thing over by the casino, which I thought was pretty comedy.
Really?
Yeah, the giant RV kinds with, like, the huge antenna. It's parked, like, outside the casino.
At what point do they just move it into the pavilion and call it good?
I mean, ideally.
Hey, I'm sure there's plans already in place for that at this point.
I mean, it's just like, do you know you're harming business? Because I don't know.
Well, I thought that was the whole reason that some of the people like Phyllis and some of those at the casino and some from the tribes were saying that they wanted the roadblock over and they wanted the camps cleared out because the roadblock, you know, was hindering the casino's profits. And I was like, I don't think so. That doesn't make sense to me. I was like, that's the only place people can stay out there. I think it's done quite well with the roadblock in place.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the road gets blocked and then it gets unblocked today and then it gets blocked back up again. So, you know, I don't think it had the effect that a lot of people thought it was going to have, because I have been paying a lot of attention to those messages coming out of, you know, some of the older type people from the tribes who were saying like, oh, everyone's got to be gone in less than 10 days. And I remember you, Russell, told me about that way back in like December, where they were telling people 10 days, all non-natives got to leave. And, you know, I think that's been kind of like the concerted effort on both sides of the fence, whether it's the tribes or the police, to try and figure out how to squeeze everyone out of there. Unfortunately, there's only two routes. So if you block them, it makes it harder for everyone to leave.
Yeah, and you know what? It's crazy, too. At the time when we were discussing all this, where they might come at us from, the strategies, I remember saying, like, okay, what happens if our side or the BIA or somehow they weasel their way into creating a blockade in the back, what are we going to do then? And it was like, oh, they won't do that, no. And here we are today.
Yeah.
Proof that it can happen. And, you know, our water protectors are out there, and they're fighting the good fight like we were, like I was, and now we're battling multiple angles. You know, it's not just about the pipeline anymore. It's about what the pipeline has influenced our own side. And, you know, and now.
Well, yeah, I thought LaDonna's message was powerful.
Definitely. LaDonna's another person I back right there. I mean, I will, you know, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to be a person who will follow her message and says, return to Sacred Stone. This ain't over. We have a battle to win, and, you know, and to go back on what was their purpose today? What were they trying to do? What have they been trying to do? And what I'm going to open the minds of every listener right now, all 78 of you, think about, and it's pretty much plain as day, but what they're showing you right now is what this whole entire country can be going through here in the near future.
If we don't unite.
Yeah, if you unite, if you have a voice, if you want to speak up against things you don't agree with, you already see the militarized force. It's stronger than ever right now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's more police than there are protesters in the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. You realize that our money that's supposed to go to the greater good of, you know, preserving our society and human life is going to pay people to securitize the entire nation. When they shouldn't even, I mean, just the throwing around of money in both the small segments of this camp to the large scale of the world is unreal. And everyone's sick of it. And what people need to understand is I'm all for women's rights. I'm all for Black Lives Matter. I'm all for everything. But right now, this movement battles all of that. Because right now we're battling the American currency, the world currency. And that is why this even got attention in the first place and why it pissed them off. There are billions of dollars invested in this. Donald Trump, the president, is invested in this. Like Jordan said earlier, I'll say this again. Donald Trump has investments in this. Your president, the people you're marching against, the people you don't like, is directly tied into this lovely rabbit hole. So what does that make you think there? If the president can sign off on things like this that affect people directly, what the heck do you think he's going to do for every other member of this lovely country we call America?
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that the state of North Dakota is ranked a D in, it's dead last. It's like second to last in the states for corruption. So we have a serious problem in the state. There are people that have an immense amount of power over a very small population in the state of North Dakota. And that, you know, if you don't understand how this state works, it might seem strange to you, the level of corruption that operates in the state. But, I mean, that's not a rating I came up with. It's out there for the public. Look for yourselves. We're like dead last almost, second to last when it comes to ethics. So we're the second most corrupt state in the country, North Dakota. Who knew? Well, when you see what's happening at Standing Rock, it's not too hard to understand how the confluence of that corruption would lead to what is happening here. Not just at the company level in terms of permitting, etc., but also at the local level when you're talking about law enforcement. And we're seeing a lot of that today presenting itself at the camp, where you have how many Humvees did they have? I mean, those tank things, LRAPs, MRAPs, I forget what they're called. How many did they have out there? It was like, it looked like 20 some things of those.
Yeah, they definitely had a different assortment of militarized vehicles. As far as statistics and specifics, I couldn't give you that, but sure, if you go back and watch the film, you could do your head count. But they sure as heck had way more than they needed.
Johnny Danger did a head count. He was over there like counting them. Let's count them again. He said, how many are there? He was going through. There was a lot. There was a huge number of them.
Yeah, and it's concerning to see the National Guard tromping around out there like they own the joint. I mean, that's scary for anybody who, you know, is aware of their constitutional rights. Anytime you see militarized force, that's not a militarized police force, but an actual military force that's enforcing local and state laws on behalf of an oil company, that's something everyone should be worried about.
Yeah, are we not supposed to, we're not supposed to have standing armies.
I thought that's what the Constitution provided us with the Bill of Rights thereafter, because, you know, our founders were concerned with, you know, tyrannical majority or a tyrant becoming a king and president trying to become royalty. Well, you know, that was some of the original inclusion into that, was that the American people should be the ones who control their own safety. It shouldn't be left up to the military to decide how local and state laws should be best enforced or to turn up to support. I mean, look at what happened with the National Guard out in Katrina. It was a disaster.
So, Russell, let me ask you something. Having been at the camp, when you see everything that's going on right now, what are the concerns that you have going forward?
I mean, life, preservation of life is a huge concern. I mean, the fact that if this pipeline gets built, it'll affect my entire family. It has already affected my immediate family. They sit, you know, I mean, it's all very difficult. It was difficult before any of this happened, and now it's even more extremely difficult. And countless others can agree and are going through the same thing. And, you know, I mean, Sorry, I just it's rewinded back. Lost my train of thought when I started just thinking about everything. Let's run that back, Cindy. Ask me the question again.
Okay. I know it's hard because this has affected you on so many levels. It's very, very personal. And our listeners know that. And it's difficult for it not to become personal when you go there. And there's so many different levels of attacks that the people that are at the camp are being subjected to. Because there's a lot of levels. So I was asking you, what are your major concerns?
Okay, my major concerns as far is, you know, mainly the strategy of the situation as far as going forward on the pipeline is a big concerning thing. And it really has been a concerning thing since the start, you know. And another thing is just the strategy for the pipeline bill, but also the strategy for the people who have already been affected by it, the people locked up, the people who are currently suffering, currently sleeping in a cell, dealing with all this stuff. It's like the future for them relies on this battle as well. Because if, you know, they build this pipeline and they get it all done, it could potentially discredit everything. And if that happens, we fail even on a bigger front than before. Not only will we lose our loved ones in the current situation, but we lose the loved ones down the line. And it's, you know, it's a huge, huge responsibility for water protectors right now and for the people who will need to be involved, whether they want to or not. This will affect you. You think that you could sit back and think, and you know, I'm not saying the people who are watching in right now and stuff, but a majority of society thinks they could just step back and, you know, think that it all work itself out, or they think that there's nothing we can do, we're doomed anyway. And this isn't proper thinking. And this is thinking that is bestowed upon us, whether we see it or not. It is given to us in the media and the different outlets that we pay attention to. Subliminal messaging. I mean, people, you know, what was crazy to people back then is now a reality. And, you know, I talked to countless people that back then they were like, oh, you're crazy. You don't need a go bag. You don't need to be prepared for, you know, even disasters need to go bag. But ideally, now these people are thinking differently. Now they're like, oh, my gosh, people are protesting. Cops are showing up. Mass arrests. It's like, yes.
This is real.
To what you thought was crazy is now your reality. So now it's time to wake up and act. Exactly. In my opinion, right now, all the things I've studied in my life, all the things I've been through, this movement matters. This movement will change the course of history, and it already has. But if we need to continue to see it through, there is no victory yet, but there is still hope. There is still Mother Earth who is behind us still. She is not gone. She is still here. And as long as she is here, we can still fight.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, one of the things that I don't lose sight of the details, because all the devil is in the details. And I just find it so interesting because if you've been to camp and have tried to live stream from the exact location that so many people were live streaming today, you would know that that was an impossible feat. And did you notice how crisp and clear those live streams were? Did y'all notice that?
Oh, I noticed.
Yeah, you notice how crisp and clear this one is now?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I mean,
you know, I think that's a good point, though, Russell. I think that brings us back to the, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the big picture and lose track of the small and vice versa. You know, when it comes to the big picture of the Trump presidency being completely complicit in terms of investing in the pipeline project to this point, and then he's getting people like Tillerson, you know, to run, you know, Secretary of State, things like that. That's trying to change the course of our history against our will. But the people's will is already spoken. You know, the difference is they didn't want to hear it. So what they decided to do was try and squash everybody's hope, try and defeat everybody by way of showing, see, if you come up against us, we're just going to lock you up and make your life hell. Well, yeah, they've done that to a lot of people we know. And in your case specifically, even more so. You know, they played some dirty tactics with that one. And they still have. I mean, throwing an innocent woman in jail with no evidence. That's what the Trump presidency really stands for right now. He's still invested in that project. For all we know, he probably will make money off of this project. Either way.
Yeah. Not to mention they used the story to their advantage. They didn't just bring, you know, my mother to jail and target a crime. They took the crime that they created and they blew it up in the media. Now, a lot of people, you know, they threw it in small outlets, but it was a majority of the major media outlets as far as local and state. It was here in Las Vegas. It was in New Mexico. It was in Bismarck for sure, in the Tribune. Morton County posted all up. I mean, they specifically used this story to diminish the camp, the water protectors, and the movement.
Exactly. They wanted to pull on everyone's heartstrings by telling them this awful, tragic story of an elder that was totally abused by her own people. But then when you go back and you look at all the details of that story, as we had, you know, and we've got plenty of more details we've been digging up in the last few weeks that we can't wait to be able to show everybody, because it's taken time to sort through, you know, what's real, what's not, who's telling the truth, who's lying to everybody. Like, you know, when you start pulling on the ball yarn, you know, that one little thread starts undoing the whole ball real quick. So, you know, it's been a learning experience for me on that side, too, because I've had to learn to practice a lot more restraint. You know, we've had to learn how to do things the right way, step by step, check every box, make sure you dot every I, do everything correctly. And even while we've done that, we've been stonewalled. At every single turn, we've tried to do everything right. Every single time, they have tried every single thing they can do, even to the point of shutting off my phone, you know, when I try and call Morton County. So they don't want to hear from me, but too bad. I'll just call another number.
Yeah, specifically, most of the majority of numbers you called were busy signals.
Yeah, so I was able to get a call through, and, you know, that was, what, on the 20th when Trump was inaugurated on that day? But since then, anytime I call Morton County, go straight to a busy signal. Anytime I call Morton County Courthouse, busy signal. Call the U.S. Marshal's office because I wanted to ask them about Bill Running Fisher being a U.S. Marshal, busy signal. Same thing every time. But it's funny that there were some government agencies out there that were answering their phones, and they did want to talk.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That is so interesting.
Right? You'd think the state would have a better phone system if they got all oil money.
Well, I mean, okay. Morton County's been asking people for tips. I mean, they want to know about what's going on. And here we have all these people calling, trying to give them information, but you can't get a hold of them.
I know. And you'd think, you know, if they were told that they have an innocent woman locked in jail, that might be, you know, counterintuitive to their whole rule of law strategy they keep trying to implement. Every time someone's talking to them on the road today, they were talking about rule of law, rule of law. Well, where in the heck is the rule of law when you have an innocent woman in jail and an elder that's been hijacked and no one can find out where she is because the state doesn't want to do the heavy lifting of having to do some follow-up?
Yeah. That seems to be lacking in a lot of the stuff that happens here in North Dakota.
Zero follow-up out in North Dakota.
We don't know what that means out here.
It all falls under the line of cover-up. Luckily, this movement has grown so large that there ain't no covering what has happened up now. They just got to keep rolling with the punches like we do, and it's just like a constant back-and-forth chess game that is very serious. I mean, you know, it's like, We're protesting, like again I said, we're protesting against the American dollar, the worldwide currency. I mean, you really can't battle any higher. That's the top of the tier right there. And that's what we're dealing with. And you see it now, how important it is to them.
Yeah, they pull out the dirty tricks. They'll kidnap your family members. They'll throw your family member in jail, even if they didn't do something wrong. doesn't matter if the report was falsified. They're not going to bother to look up to see if there's any evidence behind the claim. They're just going to take the first report and say, yeah, seems legit. That's not justice. Yeah. But that's what they're doing for expediency, because for them, the faster they can get this over with, the faster they all get paid. That's how they think.
Well, exactly. I've seen some very interesting court documents, which I'm going to be bringing to my audience real soon, showed me that there's a lot of other people out there paying attention to what's going on at Standing Rock. And not everyone thinks that the law enforcement here is going to fly under the radar with their law and order crap. Because they've been trying to paint themselves as people that are trying to keep people safe. Everything they're doing is for the safety of the people out there. They shot people on November 20th because they were trying to keep them off the bridge because the bridge wasn't safe. But they had no problem marching over that bridge today.
Nope, it supported two heavy armored vehicles as well as all that personnel and all the carriment they brought with them. So, seems to be fine.
Yeah, but they were so scared of it not being fine, they had to shoot people with water hoses.
So yeah, I mean, they're blatantly saying, hey, guys, we're North Dakota. We're Morton County, and we're full of shit.
We do what we want.
Well, I think that comes down to, like, the whole rubber stamping, too. You know, whether it's the pipeline getting its approvals for its permits via these expedient critical infrastructure rubber stamping systems where they don't go through everything they're supposed to. They just call the people that they paid money into their lobbyist campaigns for their elections, and they say, now you do me that favor, right? And they say, yes, sir, and they stamp that paper for him. But the justice system has been a really weird one to look at from California perspective. So we got a wacky justice system out in California. It ain't great. It's good, but it ain't great. You know, looking in on Gabrielle Goeder, it's just strange how one person can be tied to so many outlandish cases in such a middle of nowhere part of America. We don't have people getting charged with, like, crazy federal arson and terrorism and stuff in San Francisco. There's hundreds of thousands of people here. So, you know, it does start kind of painting out who some of these actors are and who some of these people with those rubber stamps are, because you start seeing that rubber stamp on every court document. And Gabrielle Goeder is one of those people that has her name all over the place when it comes to Standing Rock water protectors getting thrown in jail, getting trumped up charges, falsified charges, or getting escalated charges to some degree, just taking a misdemeanor, making it a felony. That's coming from the state of North Dakota. That's not coming, you know, they may be getting their money from DAPL, but those people still get their paycheck from taxpayers.
Yeah. You should explain for the people. By the way, if you're just joining us on this live stream, I am talking about camp. We are chatting about camp because we're upset. There's a bunch of stuff going on there, and I have two special guests on the phone with me, Russell Vasquez and Josh Long. If you haven't heard from them before, go back into my archives. You can go to kpppfm.com and check out all of our other shows. Y'all have been on several shows. I've had you on several shows. And I thank you guys for being with me to kind of break down all of the stuff that's been going on. So, Gabrielle Goeder, you need to explain to the public that just got on, who is she?
So it says that she's an attorney of law for the North Dakota Supreme Court. I believe she's the assistant attorney, I believe, out there in Mandan. I could be wrong about the assistant attorney thing. So sorry, Gabrielle, if I butchered your title, but it just says attorney of law.
Tell us more.
Well, you know, one of the first things that had stuck out to me was I noticed that her name is on some of the initial cases that were actually out in the AR-15 incident with Fasig and with Brennan and with Izzy. And sure enough, her name turns back up again on, Russell, on your mom's paperwork for that first initial criminal complaint. And not only just on the complaint, but also on the affidavit that was actually signed by Josh Selly saying, this is my sworn testimony. And she rubber stamps it and does the notarization, too. Like, I don't know too many state attorneys have the time to notarize stuff on their own, but apparently she took the time.
And you're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.
Yeah, if people are wondering about how to look up records, they can go to publicsearch.ndcourts.gov, and you'll get a search bar where you can look up water protectors and see what's happening with their case. It's not all the paperwork, but it has the initial charges, and it's something we look at frequently because then we can see what's happening with people. We can see what other charges have been added, when they're dated, and those sorts of things. So it's very helpful to keep track of what's happening with people.
Yeah, I was using that earlier to try and track down a lot of the charges that were coming through, especially when your mom had been picked up and same when Dean was arrested. You know, it's not the best system in the world in terms of update because it usually takes them a day or two, I've mm-hmm. noticed, to update their records after they pull more than a few people. But I have been checking back because I've also been looking for chases on there too, which, you know, like you said, Cindy, it is pretty wild now that you could think that someone could run for Congress, you know, and within just a few months later, find yourself in a jail.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I saw in some of the live streams that, or actually in this live stream, that people are saying he has court at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'd seen that too. And is that the Morton County Courthouse or the one in Bismarck?
I think it's Morton County.
Yeah.
Maybe our listeners and followers can fill us in if they know more details on that. But, you know, the reason that we're having this conversation today is because we really need to have a unified thought going forward. The bigger picture, the name of the show on the Mexican Crossing Lines. What is going to happen? And how do we come together? Because people are scattered and confused in this situation. And I know that you deeply care about what's going on at camp. Russell, what do you have as a message for folks out there?
I do. It's all about being creative now. If you want to be involved, you can be. It's your choice. And I hope you choose the right choice in what's affecting you directly, indirectly, all of the above. But it's all about getting creative now. It's about spreading the word. It's about doing outlets that we haven't done yet. It's about talking to people. Everyone knows someone. When it comes down the line, this person was connected to this person. If you can find out who your notable sources are, maybe you even know famous people. You know, right now, the answer to call is being called out by many people. LaDonna, a woman I respect. Shailene Woodley, an actress who's very good and a predominant activist. Mark Ruffalo. You know, you have many people who are already trying to do their part, and you have a big fish like Leonardo DiCaprio. Imagine if he shows up on the steps of Standing Rock. The motion we can get. I mean, it's about, you know, thinking way larger than any of us can, and even the people who are famous and have done all these great things and made all this money and traveled the world, they need to get creative. They need to do things they're not even doing right now. I mean, it's not just a matter of the small one, you know, 99% of us. I mean, ideally the 1% has all the money, but you know, you have your betweens, but you know, it's not up to the people who have nothing, who come from nothing, to just rise up and change. It matters in everyone. People who already have a good life, people who are living free and they got all their bills paid and their family's taken care of and they have a beautiful home. It's even in those people that need to step up now and get creative. And if they're not, it's up to us to convince them. We all have someone. We all have something that we can do to make this work. And that is what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. But we have to combat this message that's been put out there because it's been out there for a while. I mean, yeah. They've been saying that they're going to close this camp for a long time. They've been telling us, we have to close this.
Yeah,
camp.
How many times a day do we see one of those, like, feds are raiding in an hour? You know? We've seen that for, like, time. Weeks and weeks and weeks now. But I think today was kind of the warning shot across the bow from Morton County. I think that was them trying to put a well-placed message right in front of the camp for everyone in the world to see. Yeah, we're here. They're not backing down.
I believe that that is a direct response to something that happened. And I will tell you, I watched a video. You guys probably saw it too. I saw a video of LaDonna asking people to come to the camp when they got the notification that they were going to begin to build. When they got the like 48-hour notification and she made that call out on her video, I was weeping. Like, I was literally weeping. I heard that call. It went into my soul. It ripped my heart out and it took hold of me. Like, I felt like, I don't know how I'm going to get down there, but I'm going to have to go down there. I'm going to go down there. And, you know, I just made that decision mentally. I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this yet, but I'm going to do this.
Yep.
And she did it again. She did it again last night.
Mm-hmm.
She made that same call out. And if she touched your soul the same way when she did before, there needed to be a direct response to your natural reaction to wanting to come and defend the water, as I'm sure that many of you probably felt. And that was a heavily militarized repression. If you're feeling that urge to come down here and help, look what's going to happen. Don't fall for it. Because that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to intimidate you from taking the action that you feel naturally you should do. It's a human reaction.
It is. And I mean, you know, to completely add to that, it's like, you know, you could sit here and, you know, live by the laws that they create and all that. But like you said, it's inside. It's outside of what society has created, the system we have to live by. The earth is dying. It's being affected. We are being affected whether we want to or not. Regardless of what anyone's beliefs, all the logistics, again, it's wrong things are happening here. No matter how you spin it, no matter how you come up with your way to tackle it or to battle it, we're doing something against our creator, and it's affecting us all. And people need to stop thinking about how their specific views on it, and they need to think about the big picture. It's plain and simple. We're killing it, and it's going to kill us.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of division and confusion that has been sown. I think a lot of people, if you've been to the camp and you have not come away with PTSD, especially if you've been there multiple times, that's really remarkable, because it is not normal to go through checkpoints like Checkpoint Charlie. I mean, it's not normal to have all these and then, you know, like they had these giant concrete barriers that were able to stop like a tank or, you know, some kind of military vehicle. What do you need that for? And how are we living in a place that is normalizing this? And as we're going through these blockades on a regular basis, we're just supposed to wave and smile and go, hey, this is absolutely normal. Totally okay that now we have to deal with this on a regular basis. We've been gradually conditioned to accept this kind of abuse, in the camp. It has created a very confused and chaotic state, and I think that is very purposeful. But if you cared for the camp in the right way from the beginning, then nothing should deter you from caring in that same way now. Because there has been a lot of negativity that has been sown and that has been spoken all over the place. It may have come out of you. It might have even come out of me. But here's the thing. If you care about this now, you should be able to unite with the people that are there now. Anyway.
Trying to read the comments here. A lot of good things are being said. Trying to keep the people involved.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Cindy. I think that's the thing. I think it's hard for people to contextualize this in their day-to-day lives if you haven't experienced anything like it before. And I think that every person that I've talked with in the last few months who has been out there, even for a small amount of time, they all say the same things about the airplanes, about the helicopters, about the lights. You know, there's just that constant menacing reminder that you're on the grounds of a war zone, unarmed, mind you, and outgunned and outmanned. But with that, like you said, the psychological effect of having to drive down, you know, a 2-lane highway an extra 45 minutes out of your way just so you can avoid maybe getting pulled over by cops or driven off the road by snowmobiles or what have you. You know, that's something that most modern Americans don't deal with in their everyday lives. But most of the people who are at camp, they weren't born at camp. They came from other communities, from around the world, from around the country. And they showed up there thinking, hey, you know, they didn't expect this kind of treatment. They didn't expect to be treated as subhuman. They weren't expected to be treated as if they had no constitutional rights whatsoever or human rights, basic human dignity. No, most people didn't expect that level of dehumanization from a state like North Dakota. Because it seems so unassuming. You know, so many people always call it, you know, Midwest.
Well, that's only because you haven't lived here. Because I can tell you, having lived here, it's very, very different. There's a long history here. There's a reason why the state of North Dakota has the worst workers' comp system in the country. Or one of the closest to the worst. I mean, last I knew, it was probably the worst. And there's plenty of evidence on that. Just Google North Dakota and workers' comp, and you'll find a treasure trove of information about how bad workers are treated in the state. And
yeah. Well, in that whole case, too, with a lot of the oil company workers, they were just taking the money that was getting taken out of their paychecks for workers' comp, and then OSHA was just giving it right back to the oil companies.
Yeah. And it's difficult because here we are. We all go to camp with the best of intentions. We want to go there to help, to support, and to protect. But that may not be true for everyone that goes there, or the people that are surrounding that situation, like the police or our court system or our governors or our media. And then in the midst of that, you have a situation come out of this like yours, Russell. And it kind of breaks all the barriers for me personally, to see a situation come out that is so horrific and abusive and disturbing, that breaks apart a family, that, you know, takes prisoners, literally. These are not direct action types of arrests, but yours is not the only type of story like that, where people have suffered consequences for being involved. that don't have to do with a direct action, like Dean's, for example. And there are others. I wondered if you would comment on overall what your thoughts are on going forward, how you deal with all of this, and what you want people to know about the camp structure right now and what's happening.
Ideally, moving forward is, you know, it's a day-to-day thing. You know, what I'm dealing with, not many know what that's like. And, you know, that gets rough in itself. But, you know, ideally staying positive and remaining, you know, I don't pray every day and all the time, but there are moments when I do sit down and I speak with my heart open to the Creator and anyone who's listening in the energy grid. And I hope that everything will work out, because deep down, everything has a purpose. And right now, we're all at war with something that is affecting us all, and it will continue to affect us. And, you know, when it becomes more about the world, the very fabric of life that you're fighting against, and you're this deep into it, you now have a sense of responsibility for not only your family, but for other families, for other fighters and protesters out there all around the world who, you know, this isn't the only pipeline that was built. This isn't the only time people were persecuted. This isn't the only time that people have been locked up. But now we are faced with changing all that, changing the past and creating a better future. And that keeps me going every day. You know, I'm doing all I can right now. And quite frankly, we're fighting hard, you know. Myself, my team, as well as all the people out there from the beginning. Why do you think it got this big? I mean, there are, on their end, there are big players involved. On our end, there's Mother Earth. There's spirit. I mean, there's ancestry. There's prophecy. I mean, all they have is the almighty dollar paying them. But deep down inside, they're going to sit there and they're going to be like, am I doing the right thing? I'm sure plenty of them do. And I seen it at camp when people were doing the wrong thing to their own people. People started leaving. People started backing off. These are things that are going to happen. These are things that people shouldn't have expected. And now that they're in it, now you have a choice. You know, let the past be the past. And now here we are. Make a different decision. If you've made mistakes in your life in this camp, or you've made the wrong decision, or the wrong decision in life, now you have a chance to redeem yourself. I am sitting here trying to save my family from ridiculous false accusations that are being used in a manner to benefit corporate greed. And even then, I feel sorry for them more than angry now that they are willing to do this for something that literally does not matter. No matter how many people want to say it does, this is something in our world we do not need. This is something that should have stayed in the grounds. Because even if you decide to structure a pipeline in the best possible ecological way and people agree to it, it's still not going to be good enough. You are pumping the blood out of a life force. You're pumping necessary things out of it, whether it damages the water you drink or not. It will damage it eventually. So there is no, it can go this way. It's either you stop it or it gets built. And right now, everyone listening, everyone involved, we still have a chance. There is still hope. LaDawn is there fighting. People are still there. I will return. And if I can get as many people behind me, then we will unite and we will. I'm not going to sit here and just speak on the internet or live feeds. I will act, and you will see what I can do, and you will know my name, and the people who are involved, the people who have wronged my family, the people who are out there making these decisions consciously, you will go down too. I will not lose. we will not lose. You picked the wrong family and you picked the wrong people. You picked the wrong battle. The people on the other side made the wrong decision from the moment they decided to start this. And now they will deal with it like we have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it's very, very clear. If you're a water protector, if you're for real, if this matters to you, you cannot let the division, the fear, the chaos, the things that have been dividing us, we need to cut that out right now. It's like we're having a family meeting. We need to put that crap aside right now, all of it. The camp needs us. LaDonna has made a call out, and so have you, Russ. We need to stand with Standing Rock. If you ever cared about this, you need to care about it as much right now as you ever did. Get back out to camp. Bring reinforcements. Those of you who have and who are, thank you. This is the moment in which we need to take that fire that we talked about and take it back to the camp. You know, it was heartbreaking when they put that fire out in the very beginning. I wanted it to be lit again. I was so happy when the Ocheti Oyate camp lit another fire, because it was heartbreaking to see the Ocheti Sekoin camp fire go out. That was really hard. So we have that opportunity right now. What we're seeing out there, it's not right. By no stretch of the imagination is it okay that there was this many mass arrests and that they brought this kind of fear right to the front gates of our camp. And we need to let them know we ain't going nowheres, right? Nobody's going to abandon this fight. Not as hard as everyone has fought, and not as much time and effort and love as people have poured in to this camp. So, whether it's Trump, whether it's the new governor, whether it's Morton County, sorry, not sorry. This isn't going to end. You know, situations like this can bring people together across all lines. That's the time that we're in right now. We got to bring it all in and reinforce. Any last words from my guests? Josh, you want to go first?
No, I mean, I think you both said it very eloquently. I think that's the most important thing to remember, is that when we say we fight with love. That's what's frustrated everybody on the opposite side of that barrier to this point, is that they haven't been able to undermine that. All the other things they've tried to undermine, you know, funding, GoFundMes, you name it. They've tried every angle to try and divide and conquer. And in some cases, yeah, it seemed like it might have worked at one point. But then the camp came back together and rallied around its people and decided, no, you know, we're not like DAPL. We're not like North Dakota police. When one of theirs falls, they leave them there. When one of ours goes down, we pick them right back up. And we move forward. You know, and that's the only way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hear, hear. And also, you know, if you've ever wondered about who your friends are, this is the moment to find out. And I'm talking about the camp, the people, this water, and our mother. Are you willing to fight for those things? If you're a friend to that cause, we're going to find out who friends are right now. And you might find out you have a whole bunch of friends you didn't even know you had. And we've been pitted against each other. We've been fighting in a situation that has us in a serious chaos, as we've seen at camp today. So this is a call out for all of you who really care about this issue. It's time to show up. It's time to put up. Okay? So, any last thoughts from you, Russell? I'll let you go next.
I want everyone listening and who will listen to this after and just step back and think, how are you going to make it back? What are you going to bring back? Who will you bring back with you? Think about these things now, because the last time we did 15,000 strong, and that was with people who were just like, I'm going, and didn't really think it all the way through and ran into a lot of, you know, trials and obstacles. Now imagine if we do this again. The snows are melting. It's not freezing cold. The blizzards aren't going to strike you. Now is the time to strike. And if you think about it and you rally your personal people, if you consider yourself someone who has a voice in your life and around the people you spend every day with, use it now. Speak the words of everyone that has spoken about this movement. Spread the word. Try to get them to come with you. Start up groups where you can sign up people to come down with you. Look what the veterans did in such a short time. And I assure you, I hope the veterans get involved again. I hope we can start this movement back up right where we started, stopped. And I mean, I kid you not, if we do not give up, the simple fact that if we do not give up, we will win. That's it. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Good words. Very good words. Thank you. I will say one last thing about Chase, because we were all shocked about that arrest. And, you know, when people that are in leadership in the movement get arrested, it's meant to be a message to the rest of us. And I think that message is, if Chase isn't safe, you're not safe. Don't come here. And I believe that our response to that should not be to heed that warning and stay away and be afraid and be stopped from taking the action that we feel called to take and going and supporting at the camp. And in fact, you know what really happens when they take a leader like him? They activate a lot of people that believe in people like him and their message and their cause. There's been a lot of people like that that have been arrested throughout this whole time that we've seen what's happened at Standing Rock. Chase is one of the many that have been in that. You know, there's 700 people nearly now. I think it's over 700 now. So
yeah, they said they wanted people to go out of the state and never come back. Well, they've got a funny way of showing it. Now we're all going to have to show back up for court.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking people should just come and hang out until their court hearing. Like, you know, take a year, come down here, spend some time, get involved in the state, get to know the leaders here better.
They'd love that.
Yeah, I mean, why not? They need more people. There's only about 700,000 people. There's plenty of room.
That's true.
Hey, I'm just putting a warm welcome mat out there. I think that it's time for us to look at the situation and say, I'm not going to give that knee-jerk response of fear and of shutting down and of being confused and of acting in a chaotic fashion. We can have a different response to this, and that response can be well thought out and can be a response of love. And you know what my response of love would be to what's happened today is to come out in droves in support, not just for Chase, for all of the people that were arrested today, and to go out and reinforce that camp. That's what he got arrested for, because he was the driving force behind that message. He was the one saying, him and LaDonna were the only ones saying, this is what we're going to do. He was the one that was saying, you know what? Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chairman said don't come back, but I think he meant for some people. The rest of you, you're welcome. By the way, I'm a member of the tribe. I invite you. Come on out. He's been the one calling you out. And now they put him in the cage. So I'm going to remind you what he said. Come on out. That's what he was saying. And we should all be spreading his message now that he's not here to speak it. Thank you guys for being with me. I'm going to close out tonight's show. I just wanted to give you guys some thoughts about today and give us all a chance to kind of unpackage what happened. And we'll be bringing much more information to you real soon about Russell's case and about the happenings at camp. So thank you for being with me here on A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.